Turn with me, please, to Psalm 34, verse 8. I'm in the Amplified Classic for this verse. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord, our God, is good." Taste and see that the Lord, our God, is good. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. Well, the thought here is that once, if one would just get a taste of what it is, what it's like to be in the Lord, they'd never leave. And I know that works because it happened to me. When I came to this church the first time I came, I said I was only coming once. And I wasn't going to feel anything. No ghost was going to come down on me. And now I get teased that if people tell me that you said you were only going to go once. I said I did go once. I just never left once I got here. Because I tasted and saw that the Lord was good and everything else that I knew about church wasn't the truth. I believe God had that thought in mind, taste and see that the Lord is good, when he told Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to found this church, or plant this church, whatever term you want to use, I guess it's okay. Because he gave them a motto. And a motto was just a sentence or a phrase or a word that's inscribed on something that, and it's appropriate or to indicate what its character is, what its use is. And the character God wanted for this church, Redeeming Love Christian Center, is that it would be a place where the love of God is evident, where the Word of God is taught, where the Spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is manifested. We're going to talk this evening about the Spirit of God directing. We actually started talking about it on Sunday, and I didn't get it all in, so I figured I'll get it in this evening. Because when you live those qualities, you become, and I believe God wants us to become, a people magnet, where we go places and people are drawn to you. There were times my wife and I would go to a particular restaurant that we liked, and people would just come over to us while we're eating and say hello. And we'd say, "Hello, do we know you?" Then no, but there's this glow around you. And some people walk up to us and say, "Would you just give me a blessing?" They don't know us. But they can see that the love of God is evident in us. And they spend time with us and they find out that the Word of God has been taught. And because we got to that place in the first place was because the Spirit of God directed us, because we get in the car and decide we're going to go to one place to grab something to eat and wind up going somewhere else. But because of the first three, the fourth one, the power of God becomes manifested. We'll talk about that the next time I see you. But right now, I want to just talk a little about the Spirit of God directing. Because it's what I read with you, it's more than just a motto. It's a way of life. It's who we are. And because of who we are, people will always see God and God-like characters in us wherever we go. And that's what we want for all of you. And for everyone that says that they're that a brother or sister in Christ, says they're a believer. But in Romans 8, well, not but, in Romans 8, I'm going to read a few verses out of the Passion Translation. It says, "Now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin." Listen to this. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. The word dynamic jumped out at me. I read that scripture over and over and over and over. So we're free to live by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, what does dynamic mean? Well, it's used to describe a force. It's used to describe a factor that controls, that influences a process of growth. It's used to describe a type of change, an interaction, or an activity. And it lets us know that the Holy Spirit provides everything we need to do whatever God desires. We have the force. We have the control, the self-control, the spirit control. We understand the process. All because we're led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure in those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you're not of him. So we can't say, well, I guess we could say whatever we want, but you really can't be in Christ if you're controlled by the flesh. Verse 10. Now Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathed life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. Now listen to this, and we need to underline this reference in your Bible. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. So mature Christians are those who are led by the Spirit of God, or you could say led by the Holy Spirit. What kind of Christians are led by the Holy Spirit? Mature Christians. Well, what about the immature? What about them? Either you're living, you only have two sources, the Spirit of God or the flesh. If you're mature, you stick with the flesh. If you're mature, you stick with the Spirit. If you're not mature, you go with the flesh, and you're always bouncing all over. One day you're in the flesh, one day you're in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost will guide us, folks. John 16, verse 13 in the Amplified Classic Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give the message that has been given to him. He will guide us, folks. He will act as a guide. He'll direct us in a way or course to direct, because that's what guide means. He'll influence us usually to a particular end. He'll oversee our training or an instruction. The scripture says that the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth. That means, folks, we will always know right from wrong in every situation. We could just say, we'll always know. When situations come, we need to stop saying, I don't know what to do. We're led by the Holy Ghost. The scripture says, I have an anointing from the Holy One and I know all things. Since we have the Holy Ghost in us, if we allow him, and he is a person, if you allow him, or when we allow him to have full reign, we'll know all truth in an instant. We'll know exactly what to do. We'll know exactly how to respond to every situation, because the Holy Ghost will tell us. He knows what's going to happen before it happens, because one of his responsibilities is to show us things to come, to show us what will happen in the future. How can he show us something he doesn't have? So Jesus gives it to him. He gives it to us. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 8, in the Passion Translation, I'm still thinking about the Holy Ghost always allowing us to know right from wrong, no matter the situation. But Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 8, once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with his revelation light, and that supernatural fruits of his light will be seen in you, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Then you will learn to choose what is beautiful to our Lord. So you have a choice. You can go with the Holy Ghost, who'll always let you know what's beautiful, or you can go with the flesh and get into all kinds of stuff. And don't even associate with the servants of darkness, because they have no fruit in them. Instead, reveal truth to them. The very things they do in secret are too vile and filthy to even mention. Now listen to this. Whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. Now, a few moments ago, we read that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And we just read that everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. So that has to mean, folks, whatever the Holy Spirit tells us is truth, whether we like it or not. And also, since soul can be also described as our intellect, listen to me on this. It's accurate to say that the Holy Spirit brings light to our thinking, exposing any ungodly thoughts. We need to think about that. The Bible says, capture our thoughts and make it obey Christ. And the question has always been, how do we do that? The Holy Spirit will bring revelation light to your thinking. And you'll know it's a wrong thought. Why is it a wrong thought? Because it's not the truth. The Holy Ghost's job is to guide us into all truth. So if it's not the truth, he's going to tell us. Where are we going to hear it? In our soulless realm. We're going to start thinking, this isn't right. I'm not going to do this. And the reason you can think that is because you've yielded your life to the direction of the Holy Spirit, and he's guiding you into all truth, giving you the ability to always know right from wrong, giving you the ability and empowering you to be aware of your thoughts and how to get rid of them. How do you get rid of them? I'll show you that in a few. We'll read it in the scripture. I'll say this first once more. Since the soul can be described as intellect, it is accurate to say that the Holy Spirit brings light to your thinking, exposing any ungodly thoughts. So if you're having an issue focusing, take a few moments and pray in the Holy Ghost. Allow him to turn the iris on your thinking and get you back in focus. Verse 14. This is why the scripture says, arise, you sleeper, rise up from the dead, and the anointed one will shine his light on you. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes, and don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. Don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I always smile when I read that scripture, those two passages. King James says, be not drunk with wine where it is in excess. But instead of being drunk from drinking too much wine, be filled with the Spirit. Think about what that, with that connotation. What happens, I know you can just guess because none of you have ever been drunk that way. But try and imagine you're so drunk, you can barely move. And whatever that intoxicant tells you to do, you do it. You don't investigate it. You don't consider anything. You just do it. And God, through the Apostle Paul, is telling us, don't be drunk like that. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit give you the same type of control that you gave to that wine. The same type of control. You do what the Spirit, well, really, when you think about it, either way, you're doing what the Spirit tells you to do. Because as the late Ed Cole said, the bar is the substitute church. You could say the club is the substitute church. The bartender is the pastor, and people go there for counseling and to be filled with the Spirit. But where the Bible tells us, don't be drunk, don't be filled with that Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and yield the same way you would yield if you were drunk from what too much wine. Hope you understand that. A wino or someone who doesn't control their drinking is subject to say anything or do anything he has an impulse to do. We need to have the same type of relationship with the Holy Ghost. Whatever he tells us to do, we do. We don't even think about it. To instead be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that means with everything that the Holy Spirit has to offer you. And let your heart, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song. Remember I said, how do you keep stay happy? How do you keep your joy? Your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of Scripture, singing the songs with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. So being led by the Spirit will bring you joy. And all that God is telling us right here is just let it flow through you. You won't walk around singing songs to yourself. I would sing songs about stuff that I didn't have or I was believing for. I'd sing songs that I have it. Didn't mind who heard me because I sang the songs I believed I received what I was singing about and believing for. And I had joy. Matthew 4, just to let you know, Jesus was led, guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, the desert, to be tempted, tested and tried by the devil. He wasn't pushed to do it. He wasn't dragged to do it. He was led. He was guided. And he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that gave him the strength that he needed to do what he needed to do to tempt the devil. Because the Holy Ghost is not going to guide you into something that you cannot control. He's not going to guide you into something too big for you. Nothing is too big for the Lord. So if he guides you, he's got you. And there seems to be a new phrase. Even my barber says, I ask him what time I come. He said, don't worry, Rev, I got you. I guess that means whenever I need to go, he'll make whatever he needs to make do to give me what I need. In John 15, in the Amplified Classic, Jesus telling his disciples, when the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me and declare to you things that are to come that will happen in the future. See, on three different occasions, Jesus had to talk to the disciples, letting them know that the Holy Ghost is going to come, and he's going to guide them into all truth. And that was important because of all the chaos that was going to be happening after his death, burial, and resurrection. He wanted his disciples to focus on the truth and know what their source of truth will be. So in the midst of the chaos, you can have peace. In the midst of the chaos, you can have joy if you just allow yourself to stay within the guidelines of the Holy Ghost. Jesus wanted people to have a means to know what to do and how to do it. And that's what he said concerning his church. This church is to be a place where the Spirit of God is directing. In Acts 2, we read how when the Spirit came. It says, starting with verse 2, this is out of the Living Bible. 7 weeks had gone by since Jesus' death and resurrection, and the day of Pentecost has now arrived. As the believers met together that day, suddenly there was a sound like the roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house where they were meeting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on their heads, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking in languages they didn't know, for the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. The Holy Spirit gave them that ability. So now the Holy Ghost is here, and we have the ability to hear and respond to his direction. This is what you can do, one of the things you'll do when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, verses 5 to 11. I'm still in the Amplified Classic. Then on the following day, this is after Peter and John healed the man at the gate called Beautiful, and the religious leaders had a fit. On the following day, the magistrates and elders and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem, including Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all others who belonged to the high priestly relationship. They set the men in their midst and repeatedly demanded, by what sort of power or by what kind of authority did such people as you do this healing? So they asked them, and they weren't sitting by casually, what type of power did you use? They were in their face. Then Peter, because he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, you have to be filled with folks so that you can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with them, you have no means of control. You have to be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, because he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and members of the council of the Sanhedrin. Mind you, these are people that had put them in jail the previous day and were looking for a reason to kill them. If we're being put on trial here today and examined concerning the good deed done to benefit a feeble, helpless cripple, by what means this man has been restored to death, let it be known and understood by all of you and by the whole house of Israel that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, in him and by means of him, this man is standing here before you well and sound in body. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you, the builders, but which has become the head of the corner, the cornerstone. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you'll say what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, and how it needs to be said. And you won't concern yourself with how people feel about it or their reaction to it. Because you're filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, light has come to your thinking. Revelation light has come to your thinking. And your thoughts are different. And your countenance, everything that you say and do is reflective of the revelation that you got. As soon as they were released from custody, this is verse 23, now I'm in the Passion Translation. As soon as they were released from custody, Peter and John went to the other believers and explained all that happened with the high priest and the elders. When the believers heard their report, they raised their voices in unity and prayed, Lord Yahweh, you are the Lord of all. You created the universe, the earth, the sky, the sea, and everything that's in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit to your servant David, our forefather, saying, how dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord Most High? Their foolish plots are futile. They're saying this, folks, because Peter was led by the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and said what needed to be said during a tough time. During a tough time, and it gave the other people hope. And they started speaking and praying out of their spirits. Look at how the kings of the earth take their stand with the rulers scheming and conspiring together. Sounds like today's politics. Conspiring together against God and his anointed Messiah. In fact, Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with Jews and non-Jews, met together to take their stand against your holy servant, Jesus the Messiah. They did to him that all that you purposed and will have determined according to the destiny you had marked for him. So now, Lord, they've gave him the backstory. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. They didn't pray, kill them, God. Wipe them out. How dare they talk about us that way? They said, Lord, you heard their threats. You heard their threats. Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. And you could put in spite of their threats. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. That's what they prayed. There was no fear. There was no hate. They wanted the people who wanted to condemn them to see the truth and experience the truth. At that moment, the earth shook. You may or may not remember, but I said earlier, the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to do all that God desires. The earth shook beneath them, causing the buildings they were in to tremble. Each one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. They received, remember we started out talking about the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit being a force to cause you to be able to do whatever God wants done. Well, Jesus already said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They spoke, they proclaimed the word with unrestrained boldness. That's what we need, folks. We need unrestrained boldness to do the things that God has called us to do. And in order to do that, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Because we know once we're led by the Holy Spirit, there's power associated with it. There's revelation light that's associated with it. And we need both. We need power. We need revelation light. We need to know the whole truth in every situation. We're living in an age where half-truths and quarter-truths and eighth-truths are being passed around as being the whole, full, unadulterated truth, and it's not. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, your thinking will not be illumined. Light will not come into your thinking and reveal to you what's the whole truth, what's the real truth, what's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what we need. That's what this world needs. They need to operate in truth. And we're the ones that have the truth. In Galatians 5, There are some characteristics of the Holy Spirit that we need to be mindful of. And for time's sake, I'm just going to go right down to them. Well, I have to start with verse 19. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentments when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their kingdom, their freedom, for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God? But fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you, or you could say, when you allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit that's in you, that Holy Spirit will produce within you divine love in all its varied. That means in all its variations, all of its expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities. So I don't care what it is, if it screams out for you to be impatient, unkind, lacking virtue, let it go. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. Never set the law above those qualities. For these qualities of the Holy Spirit are meant to be limitless. Can't have too much love. Can't have too much love. Can't have too much joy. You can't have too much peace. Is anyone that ever walk around saying, I can't handle all this peace, I need some chaos? No. In the chaos, we want peace. How do we find peace? We go off, or we stay right in the middle of it, and we start worshiping God, start speaking in our heavenly language. And peace rides in. As we worship, peace comes down. It rides down on our worship. Rides down on our praise. Rides down on our obedience. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus, the Anointed One, have already experienced crucifixion. For everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with the Messiah. We must live in the Holy Spirit and follow after Him. We must live in the Holy Spirit, folks, and follow out after Him. We're a place where the love of God is evident. We're a place where the Word of God is taught. We have to be a place where the Spirit of God is directing, so we can be that place where the power of God is manifested. With no direction, there's no manifestation, because direction will lead you to the connection to the power. And when the power starts flowing, people will come to, will get a conviction and will want to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? I hope you got something for that. Because we want to be that place where the Spirit of God is directing us, guiding us, empowering us into all truth. We want our thinking crystal clear, so we'll always know the right thing to say at every precise moment that it needs to be said, because we've allowed ourselves to be filled with and controlled by the Spirit of God. You could say, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, the honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for that short but powerful word. to let us know we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is moving among all your people tonight, Father, speaking to them, encouraging them, prompting them so they'll know what they should be doing and how they should be doing it. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it's very simple. Just answer this question. Are you a good person? Do you know how to give good gifts? Well, if you know how to being human, you know how to give good gifts to people, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks? Anyone. Of course he will. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to leave you in a confession. We're going to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to thank him for doing it. Because he said he'll give it to anyone who asks. The only criteria is you need to be born again. So we'll take care of that in a few moments. But as I said, I'm going to lead you in a confession. I'm going to start praying in tongues. I'm going to point my finger at the screen like this. When I do that, you open your mouth and you'll start praying in tongues. And when we're done, you can send us a comment and I guess comment, reply, whatever it's called. You probably know more about that than I do. Just to let us know. But first, is there anyone out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as a Savior? Let me lead you in this confession. You say, Father God, I believe that you're God. And I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died, was buried, and went to hell in my place. I believe he took all my sins and all the bad things I've done were put on him. And you raised him after 3 days from hell, and he's seated at the right, on your right hand and is coming again soon. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, according to the scripture, if you prayed that prayer, you just got born again. So welcome, brother. Welcome, sister, into the family of God.